Some will get there and ask, you know, Lord, why am I not going in? He said, well, didn't get saved. You know, someone's going to ask a question. They'll think, well, I was raised in church. Depart from me, I never knew you. And so, anyway, that's a song my mom sang when I was growing up, too. It's a great song. Please search the book again. It's good to have Brother Stensis with us tonight and his family. And they literally got off the flight. Was that yesterday? It was Monday. Monday from Uganda. And we're glad to be their first stop. And we're going to... It's okay that they're friends with the Tremars. And I will say something. He probably wouldn't say this, but his dad is a missionary and has been for years and years. And his dad, this last year, is now the missions director of West Coast Baptist College. And his dad's very well thought of across the nation. Not saying he isn't either, but his dad's reputation, of course, being a college, West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California, and being a part of that ministry, it's going to be amazing for his dad. I know his dad's excited about it. So, Brother Stensis, you come on and present your ministry.
Well, praise the Lord. It is great to be able to be here at Heritage Baptist Church. And the truth is, I wanted to come to see who would hire Brother Scott. And and the fact that the church is growing and being productive is even an additional blessing. Amen? And God can use anybody. Amen? He can use anybody. But no, Brother Scott and Sharon have been good friends of ours for quite some time. And we had originally planned on flying into Austin, but the flights that were going that direction, they actually stopped flying into Uganda, so we ended up having to fly into Dallas. And so right now, our body, it's telling me it's 3 o'clock in the morning, and so I cannot be responsible for anything I say off tonight, but it is great to be here tonight. What a privilege it is to see this church and see what God has been doing, and to meet your pastor. Your pastor has been very gracious to us, and I want to thank Brother Chad for picking us up at the airport and helping us out there, because Scott didn't want to get out of his cool office to come pick us up, and so he sent Brother Chad, and so I appreciate that, brother. You're a good friend. Amen. And but anyway, as preacher said, I was raised on the mission field. And at the time, my dad was a missionary in Europe. He was a missionary to the American military and starting churches outside of American military bases all around the world. And so I spent time growing up in Europe, Italy, Spain, Germany, and different places like that. And then ended up going to Bible college, and God began working on my heart about missions, and just had a love. I love seeing what God was doing with my dad's life, and I wanted that for my life. I wanted to be involved in missions, and I wanted to be involved in getting the gospel to foreign countries. And so through a long series of events, God led us to the country of Uganda. We arrived there in 1996, and since that time, Uganda has truly become our home, and it's been the place where God has just put our heart there. And it's just, you know, what broke my heart is as we were landing in Dallas, even just landing in Dallas, a couple of our kids just said, can we go back home, you know, and because truly Uganda is our home. But at the same time, we understand that we could not do what we're doing and be effective the way we're doing it without churches just like Heritage Baptist Church. And we have a great responsibility to those churches, and so furlough to us is a ministry. It's an opportunity for us to come back and share with you what God is doing there, and give churches an opportunity to be more involved. God doesn't call everyone to be missionaries, and God, we need some people to hold the fort down here in America, and getting out there and winning souls for Christ in this country and establishing churches. And one of the greatest things that I've heard about Heritage Baptist Church is your belief in church planting, and not just sending missionaries to do the church planting, but being involved in church planting yourself. And what a great testimony that is. We need more churches like that in America. Let me just do this. I've got a video that I'd like to show you, and tonight is a first for a lot of things. This is the first to wear this suit coat. I had it made in Uganda, And so it's a first, you know, I don't wear suits in Africa, amen? And so I don't know why, because I'm wearing it here, and it's a whole lot hotter in Texas than it is in Africa. So anyway, we come to Texas, and we start wearing suit coats. So I don't know what's up with that. But it's our first church, and first time to show our video presentation, and first time to take the display out of the board and everything. So it's just... it's a blessing, and I want to thank your pastor for allowing us to take this opportunity to share with you what the Lord's doing there. So let's do this. Let's show that video. It's about 9 minutes long, and it'll give you a little idea of what we've been doing, and then what we want to accomplish when we go back. God is opening up some tremendous doors. We've been able to see a lot of our churches turned over to national pastors, and so this is going to create another door for us to be able to be involved in helping these new churches that have been established, in training their men, and then going even further, helping them to establish further churches as well. And so, gentlemen, if we could go ahead and show that, and then after that, then we will bring you something from the Word of God.
For God so loved the world, 1/7 of the world's population calls Africa their home. 36 million people live in this country of Uganda, while 75,000 people call Masaka Town their home. It is to this town of Masaka that God led my wife and I to come 20 years ago, back in 1996. And since that time, God has done some wonderful, wonderful, amazing things. One of the greatest opportunities that we have had since coming to Masaka Independent Baptist Church is that through this church in Masaka Town, we've been able to go out into the villages and start 9 different churches. And each of those 9 churches are now going on their own. And we are training these men and helping these men in their particular churches.
He has been a tremendous help to me because with his coming to Uganda, that's when I first heard the gospel. Viewers, I cannot tell you how much I've benefited in having gotten saved, having heard the gospel when he came to Uganda.
Pastor Case of Masaka Independent Baptist Church, he came and helped us to start the church. I'm happy to let you know that the building you are seeing here is our church, and I really can't forget what Pastor Case did for us, because we have managed to have where we are preaching from, where we fellowship during Sundays.
And inside of me, I had a desire to know the Lord. I had a desire to preach, to share the gospel with the people, and he sat with me every time, and he was sharing with me the word of God, and that's how I came to know Christ. And then I joined the Masaka Baptist College to be trained for being a pastor, and that's how we got a group here, and we started discipling them, and then it turned into a church. That's Equator Independent Baptist Church, and the church is doing very well.
I thank again God for my pastor, Pastor Casey Stensas, because he helped our church and the other churches to help them to grow and also to be established firm, and also to not only that, but to see other churches getting started.
2 ways that we've been able to do that. Number 1 is through Masaka Baptist College. Masaka Baptist College is a 4-year program that we have here at Masaka Independent Baptist Church. Every Monday and Tuesday evening, we bring men and women from our local area and train them in the Word of God, just like we have Bible colleges in America. The second way that we do this is through our Triannual Bible Institute. 3 times a year, we bring in all of the men from our outlying village churches, and we bring them in for a 1 week of solid training, Monday through Friday, from morning up to evening. We provide their food, accommodation, and even their books while they're here, and all they have to do is take care of their transport to and from the Triannual Bible Institute. And during that 1 week time, from Monday up to Friday, we can train them in the Word of God and give them the essential tools that they need to be able to go back into their villages and be able to teach their own people the Word of God that they have learned. But there's one important need that I want you to pray about that we are asking God to help us with, and that is someone who will come over and help us in these ministries. God has expanded our ministries beyond our wildest dreams, and it's getting to a point where I feel like the work is just too great, and we need somebody to come and help us. The Bible says that the Apostle Paul said, "Bring Mark with you, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." The Apostle Paul knew the importance of teamwork. He knew the importance of wherever he went, having men with him that he could mentor, but not only mentor, but that they could help him in the ministry. And I'm asking God that he would raise up someone that would come over to you, God, and help us in these ministries and help us to be able to work and come alongside the great work that God has enabled us to be able to do here in this country of Uganda. One of the greatest ministries that I've ever had the opportunity of being a part of is Christian Radio. In 2001, we had the opportunity of starting Word of Life Radio. Word of Life Radio broadcasts the good news of Jesus Christ 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to a prospective listening audience of over 1 million people. Can you imagine that? Reaching 1 million people with the gospel of Jesus Christ every single day. And we're able to do that through the medium of Christian radio. I would ask that you pray about this radio station. As I said, we started in 2001, and we're continuing to work with this radio and continuing to preach and to make broadcasts and continue to add programs to it to enable us to further the gospel of Jesus Christ. But one thing we need when we come back off of furlough is we need to replace our battery system for our radio station. The power here is not so good, and so we have to have solar power. The solar power powers the batteries, and the batteries are what we get our power from. And so we're needing to raise the funds to replace those batteries. Also, we're needing to raise the funds to replace our broadcasting and production computers. And so we're looking at about a cost of $14,000 to be able to replace this equipment and be able to continue this vital ministry. But can you imagine having a small part in this particular ministry will enable you to be able to have a part of every single day reaching over 1 million Ugandans with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Will you help us? 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 2 tells us, "And the things that thou hast heard of me amongst many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." You wouldn't think that this truck behind me could help us accomplish that, but it can do just that. Because in our next term, we are going to be establishing a ministry called the Village Ministry and Assistance Program. And this program is going to help us to get out of the town that we've been serving in for so long and help us to get out into the villages in these 9 different churches that we've been able to establish and be able to help these pastors with discipleship programs, soul winning programs, and even teaching them how to go out in their own areas and establishing churches out of their own particular churches. You say, how does a truck help us to be able to do that? Because with this truck, we can take all the equipment that we need to go out into these villages and literally spend up to a week in each of these different churches. We'll be able to take food, we'll be able to take medical supplies, we'll be able to take chairs and tents and sound equipment, all of that we'll be able to take out to these villages when we do this program. And then once we unload everything and once we have everything set up, then the truck then will turn into our living quarters, and we will actually live in the truck while we're out there in these villages. This truck behind me is going to cost us about $20,000. So while we're on furlough, we're asking God to help us through the help of our local churches to be able to raise the funds that we need to purchase this vital tool in helping us to accomplish this ministry that God has called us to do. So you've seen the opportunities that God has enabled us to be a part of these last few years, and we are looking forward to seeing the doors that God is going to open up in the future in regards to this new ministry. It's a different kind of ministry, one that we've not been a part of, but we really believe that this ministry is going to be vital in helping these new churches and these new pastors to grow in the Lord and establish themselves in the ministry of church planting. Please pray for Pastor Charles Dungu as he is continuing to be trained and mentored to take over our town church here, Masaka Independent Baptist Church. He's doing a great job in leadership and knows the Word of God very well, and we're excited about his prospect in taking over this ministry and taking it even to new heights than we've been able to see it done. Thank you so much for your prayers and your support. We look forward to continuing to partner with you as we continue to see God work in the lives of people here in the country of Uganda.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And to God be the glory. Great things He hath done. And I thank God so much for the opportunity of serving Him there. And pray for us. Where, as the video said, we are entering a new phase of ministry where I am not going to be doing so much as being the pastor of the church, but I'm going to be, we've turned that main town church over to Pastor Charles Dungu, and that is going to enable us to be able to get out into the villages of these churches that we have started, and helping them with training, helping them with their men, helping them as they start other churches. And so we're excited about that. My heart is in the village. I love being out there. I love being with the people. And I am so excited about the future and what God is going to be doing. Let me encourage you, if you can, after the service this evening, go back by our display and get one of our prayer cards and take these home and pray for us. I don't know how you do your prayer cards. Maybe you put them on the refrigerator, or like in our home, we keep all of the prayer cards in a ring binder, and every day we pray for a different missionary every day. But let me encourage you to take one of these home and pray for us. Pray that God will continue to provide and meet the needs that we have as we endeavor into these new ministries. And my children, our boys, are out with the youth tonight, but I do have my wife. Let me introduce her real quick. My wife, Sally. And she is the joy of my life. And then my two daughters, Shaylin, stand up there, and then Savannah. And then our boys are outside. And but again, please go by and get a prayer card. And we'd love to have you continue to pray for us if you would. Well, this evening, take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 29. 2 Chronicles and chapter number 29. 2 Chronicles and chapter number 29. And God laid on my heart this message and preached a series of messages on the life of Hezekiah, a great king, a great man of God while he was king, and did a lot of good things for the Lord. And when Hezekiah took over as king, Israel was in a mess. His father, his grandfather had literally brought Israel, this nation that served Jehovah God, this nation that followed the law of God, brought them into sin, brought them into degradation, even to a point where his father ordered the doors of the temple to be completely shut. And they said, we're just not going to worship God anymore. We're not going to worship Jehovah any longer. And so that is what Hezekiah came into when he became the king. Notice in chapter 29, and let's read the first few verses here. Verse number 1, the Bible says, Hezekiah began to reign when he was 25 years old. He reigned 29 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father, that David his father, had done. He, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. And he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them together in the east street. And he said unto them, hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers, and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. For our fathers have trespassed and done that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord our God, and have forsaken Him and have turned away their faces from the habitation of the Lord and turned their backs. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us tonight as we hear from Your Word. I pray, God, that You speak to hearts. I pray, Lord, that there might be someone here today that might surrender their life and say, Lord, here am I. Use me. Send me. That I may go and wherever it is in this world, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. God, we are in desperate need of missionaries today. Father, speak to someone tonight, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. My wife and I, we arrived in Uganda in 1996. And when we came in 1996, it seemed like I don't know what it is, but it seems like there's certain parts of the world that become popular for missionaries to go to. And I remember there was a time when everyone was going to Zaire, and there was a time when it seemed like a lot of missionaries were going to Russia, and a lot of missionaries going to the Philippines. And when we started into Uganda, the first few years, it seemed like a lot of people wanted to go to Uganda. And we had a lot of missionaries come. And the other day, my wife and I counted up, and we figured out that from the time that we've got there in 1996 until we left on furlough this last week, there has been 28 missionary families come to Uganda and leave. 28, just in that one country. Now, I grant you, some of those have been because of sickness, some has been because of health, some have gone on to new ministry, some have messed up their lives. But the point of the matter is that 28 missionaries that started in Uganda, that came in Uganda in the last 20 years, are no longer there. And if I could accomplish anything on this furlough that I'm on, my goal and my desire is that God would raise up more people to come to that country. A country is a country of 32 million people, and I wish I could take you to a visit there and see village after village after village after village, and people who will never, in my lifetime, probably never have anybody give them a gospel tract, never have anybody give them a John and Romans, or anybody ever preach the gospel to them, because there's just too many villages. I mean, there's just in our district, there's more villages than I could ever get to my entire lifetime. And that's one of the reasons we started Christian Radio, is because with the radio station, we can get into villages and we can get into homes and different religions that would never allow us to talk to them, would never allow us to come and sit down with them with the Word of God. And with the Christian Radio, we're able to get into all these different homes and all these different villages that we would never be able to get to in my lifetime. But the truth of the matter is, we need help. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, why is it that nowadays it seems like more missionaries are leaving the field than are coming? Why does it seem like we're continuing to see them? Just before we left, I heard of another mission in Uganda that said, we're not coming back. We're going to stay in America, and we're just going to kind of look at how things are going there from America. And listen, I'm not trying to question people's motives, but I'm just trying to say that I believe God still is concerned for this world, and I believe God is still concerned for reaching souls. And so I don't think that the problem is God. I don't think the problem is that God is not calling missionaries. I don't think that the problem is God is not dealing with people's hearts. But I think the problem is preparation. God's looking for men. God's looking for women who will surrender their lives and go to the far reaches of this world and go to countries, whether it be Uganda or whether it be the Philippines or whether it be Canada or United States, wherever it might be. But God in His Word has told us that He's looking for vessels that are clean and vessels that are prepared. But when we are not prepared and when we are not meet for the Master's use, God's not going to bring us to where He wants us to be. And so as I look at Hezekiah here, I look at a man that at a very young age became king of Israel and took over a situation in Israel that was in very desperate problems, very desperate times, and very wicked times. And you look at Hezekiah, and I said, all right, Hezekiah became... I want you to look at something here in 2 Kings 18. For sake of time, I'm not going to go there. But this is how the Lord describes Hezekiah in 2 Kings 18. The Bible says he removed the high places. He removed the brazen serpent that they are worshiping. The Bible says that he trusted the Lord unlike any king that followed him. The Bible says he clave to the Lord and followed all his commandments. And the Bible says he prospered in whatsoever the Lord allowed him to do. A very great king. But I want you to notice he came into this scene in a time of great wickedness.
And yet he was able to change things around. He was able to turn things around. And he was able to get Israel back on their feet and be able to bring Jehovah back to the nation of Israel, bring the worship back and restore all of these things that God intended to do. But what needed to be done, there had to be some preparation done. I believe with all of my heart today in all of our churches across America, we see great churches like Heritage Baptist Church that are full of good men and good women that are serving the Lord. But we are so strapped to this life, and we're so strapped to this lifestyle, and we're so strapped to the day in and day out culture of America that if God was to write it on the wall, we wouldn't see the call of God. We've got to start preparing our hearts. And we've got to start saying, Lord, here am I. Lord, prepare my heart. Help me to be what I need to be so that at any time, if you are willing to call me, if you're willing to use me, if you're willing to take me to whatever mission field, that I would be ready and willing to go. Notice what he did here. The Bible says that when he became king, in verse number 3, the Bible says, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. He opened up the doors. His father had shut them. His father had said, no more, we're not worshiping Jehovah anymore. We're not worshiping the things of God anymore. And so when Hezekiah took over as king, the very first thing he saw that needed to be done, he needed to open up those doors. He needed to allow the worship of God to take place. And then not only that, but the Bible says that he went into the house of the Lord and told the Levites, he said, carry forth the filthy things out of the temple. You know, I read in my Bible, in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he says, what, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Lord? You know, I think what we've done in a lot of our lives, and I've seen this in our people in Uganda, I've seen this in the United States of America, we have on the outward side, we have a form of worship, and on the outside we have people that look at us and say, wow, they're a great Christian and they're wonderful, and look at, they're coming to church and they carry a Bible and their kids go to Sunday school. But I believe that our churches are filled with people that their heart doors are closed to God's using them. They've never opened up their heart. They've never said, here it is, Lord, wherever you want me to go. And the reason is because when we open up the doors, what are we going to see inside? What are we going to see? When Hezekiah opened up these doors had been shut for some time. His father had closed the doors. His father had said no more. But when he opened up the doors, he looked inside and he saw the condition of the temple. And the Bible says it was filled with filth. God says, listen, you need to purge yourself from these. You need to purify your lives. Why? So that you can be meet for the Master's use and prepared for every good work. I think that many of us, we're not prepared. We're not keeping our lives clean. And so when we look into our hearts and God sees the filth that is in our temple and God sees the sin that is in there and God sees the corruption that is in there, yes, on the outside we might look fine, but on the inside God says, I can't use you. You're not prepared. And I believe with all of my heart we've got to start taking a serious look at our lives and find out what is in my heart. What is that sin that's in my heart that nobody else knows about but me? And we need to start asking God, God, clean me from within. Purge me. God, I want to be prepared for the Master's use. I want God to use me in whatever capacity that God can use me. But Lord, I must be clean. And so Hezekiah said, open up the doors. Let's repair them. Let's carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. Search me, O God, and know me. Try my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. God, create in me a clean heart. Lord, restore to me the joy of my salvation. Again, the problem is not God. The problem is that God is not calling people. I believe God is still calling, and I believe God is still wanting people to go to the far reaches of the world. But the problem is our hearts are full of sin. Holiness is no longer preached about in our country. You know, sometimes as a missionary, you live in Uganda, and everybody there thinks that America is just perfect. And they think that in the third world mentality is if I could just get to America, everything would be fine. And they honestly, they think that money just grows on trees. And if they could just get there, they could be successful. And so there's such a mentality there that America is the answer, and everybody in America loves God, and everybody in America goes to church, and everybody in America does this. That sometimes after you're around that for a long period of time, as a missionary, you start believing that yourself. Until you land in Dallas, Texas. And really, as close to Texas is to heaven, there's still a lot of wicked people here. Are you with me? And here's the thing, though. What's happening across our country today is that wickedness is filtering into our churches. It's filtering into our hearts. It's filtering in through what we watch. It's filtering in through what we listen to. It's filtering in through what we allow to influence our lives on a day-by-day basis. And it's no wonder that the missionaries are not going to the field. Because God's having a hard time finding clean vessels. He's having a hard time. I want more than anything else to be able to go back to Uganda this next time and be able to tell our people there, hey, listen, there's 4 or 5 or 6 more people coming to help us. What a great thing that would be. What a great opportunity that would be for someone at Heritage Baptist Church to be able to be sent forth by this church to go to this little country of Uganda and be able to go out into the villages. It's wide open. You can go anywhere you want. You can go in the schools. You can go in the government offices. You can go wherever you want. Preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can go pass out 1,000 tracts and have 1,000 people take them. In all the 20 years there, I've only had one tract refused. But where are the missionaries? Where are they at? Whose fault is it? Where's the men of God that'll surrender? Could it be, perhaps, that our hearts are not where they ought to be? Notice in verse number 10. Hezekiah said, "Now it is in mine heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that His fierce wrath may turn away from us. My sons, be not now negligent, for the Lord hath chosen you to stand before Him, to serve Him, that ye should minister unto Him and burn incense." Verse number 15, "And they gathered their brethren and sanctified themselves and came according to the commandment of the king by the words of the Lord to cleanse the house of the Lord." You know what we need tonight? We need some people tonight that'll just come to the altar and say, "God, I'm going to make a covenant. God, I'm going to make sure my heart. Lord, you may not have me leave Hazlett, Texas. You may not have me leave the Fort Worth area. But Lord, my heart is going to be clean. My vessel is going to be what it ought to be. I'm going to live a holy life so that God, at any time, at any moment, at any place in this world, if you tap on the door, I am ready to go. I'm ready to go." Would you be that one to make that covenant tonight? I'm not asking you to make a covenant to say you'll go to the mission field. I'm just asking you tonight to make a covenant that you clean your house up. That you get the filth out of your lives. That you get the filth out of the temple. So that you will be prepared. Listen, let me tell you something. I don't have to preach a message and get you called. If your heart is clean and your heart is ready, God will make it very clear to you what He wants you to do with your life. We need to prepare our hearts. Purge yourself from these. Make yourself a vessel meet for the Master's use. Just the sound of that. Meet for the Master's use. That's what I want. I want my life meet. I want my life ready. I want my life to be what it ought to be so that any time my master says, I need you for this, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. What about you tonight? I don't know if God's calling you to the mission field, but tonight at least, would you take a serious look at your heart and say, Lord, there's some things that I've got to carry out. There's some things that I've got to clean up. There's some things that I've got to change in my life. And Lord, if you would use me, if you would send me to the mission field, if you would maybe call me to Uganda, East Africa, Lord, here am I, send me. I'd be willing and ready to go. Amen? Amen. Pastor, you come. Thank you so much.
Amen. Made a covenant with his heart, right? Made a covenant with God, but his heart was ready. Anybody notice the message at all? It means someone or some bodies needed that tonight a second time. He doesn't know I preached that Sunday morning. Think just for a second now. I've been preaching for, 25 years, whatever. I can't name another time that's ever happened, I don't think, where somebody preached the exact same scripture and almost the exact same message. When I was in Bible college taking homiletics, which is the study of preaching and putting messages together, the teacher would make us take a certain text like that and then create three or four messages from that one text. So I thought as he was preaching, I said, well, he's going to preach something different. It'll be the same text, but it'll be something different. And it was a little different because his personality is different than mine and his approach is a little different. But the message was exactly the same. How's your heart? Is your heart right with God? If you want to, we are called to serve. And if we are to serve him, we need a clean heart, a clean vessel. And I love that going through the text, I preached the rest of the text. Remember, they gave the thank offering. Gave it free will. See, this was not the king saying, you have to do this. I'm sure he could do that. He could go to those priests and say, this is what's going to happen. If you don't do it, I'm going to have you killed or whatever. But later down the road, you see that they were doing it with a free heart, with a thankful heart, free will. And we ought to use our free will tonight to say, Lord, revival's in a week and a half. Our revival meeting's in a week and a half. Just come down and say, Lord, I'm preparing for the revival meeting. I'm going to get right before the revival meeting gets here. And then, Lord, what would you have me to do? That's awesome. I'd love to see that happen. Amen. Let's all stand. Hymn 337. What a good message tonight. And then the application for the census tonight is, of course, missions. That's his heart. Maybe tonight God's calling you into service. Maybe he's calling you into full-time service. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the message tonight. We thank you, Lord, that you have led in such a way that this message has been repeated. And God, help us to heed that, knowing that you have led Brother Stensis tonight to preach that. I pray tonight, Lord, that we would yield our hearts to you in order that you might work in us and then through us. And we'll thank you for what you'll do in Jesus' name. Amen. Hymn 337.